save big money on plant protection supplies. Now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready to spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to the CrazeCast, the podcast run by the fans for the fans that brings close to the action. My name is Roxy, and today I'm joined by my fellow host, Jay.
Hello.
And our podcast editor, Robin.
Hello.
Hello. To keep up with all our content, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at CrazeMag, and YouTube, The Craze. And if you're watching this on YouTube, before we begin, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel to catch our next episode, and hit that bell for notifications for when we upload new videos. Oh my god, we're here. We're here. We're doing the thing. We're all tired, clearly. I feel like all of us are dead today. We're just like, ugh.
Being a person is really hard to do. Like, having to exist is very tiring.
Yeah.
Very much so. I just, like, where did this week go?
Oh my god. It's crazy on how fast everything has gone by. I'm like,
Yeah, I can tell by the boxes in your background.
Dude, and
your shelf's gone.
Yeah, my bookshelves are gone. My albums. Okay, since this is a K-pop podcast, I don't feel bad saying this. My K-pop albums, my album collection is in 10 boxes.
Dude, when I moved, like I had so many boxes that were just like either it was like crazy shit or albums, and it's
But like the thing is, it's not just cardboard boxes. You see these like tubs right here? Yeah. They're in tubs too. 10.
See, that's the problem. When they design
these, seven alone.
They're not designed for moving because some of these CDs are heavy as fuck.
They so are.
You put them in a box and it like I had to tape them so hard because I was like, these boxes are gonna break because this shit's so heavy.
But what's really funny is that I have a certain box. I'm laughing because it's funny to me. I have a box and it's like I think it's like this one or like this one right here. Mm-hmm. It's just Jin Young stuff.
We love that for you. We love that.
And that's gonna be the first thing that gets sent to me in Korea.
As it should. Wait, are you bringing all of your stuff or are you just bringing only a few?
More than half of my stuff is staying with my family.
Okay.
See, that's why I couldn't make such a big move, because I don't know what the fuck I would, like, insist on taking with me and not. Because, like, I like to be surrounded. Like, if you look at my background, there's, like, all my shit. This is all my BTS shit. That is about to break. Like, there's a bent because it's so heavy.
Damn.
And that's, like, that's the memories. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 is about to break the shelf. But, like, I wouldn't know. I would be like, no, I'm going to want this with me. So,
right,
even if it's not practical.
I can't show mine because mine is a disaster, but like there's K-pop stuff here. I can show this though, because I'm currently working on, I know we'll get into the episode, just we're catching up, bear with us. I'm in the process of like re-sleeving my K-pop photo cards. Mm. And
that looks like kind of a small binder
right now.
Is just it's because you're shutting it together.
These are all Stray Kids ones and it's almost full. You don't even want to know the stack behind there that are just BTS photo cards.
Dude, a mood. Big mood.
And so I got one for BTS, but I'm like, I might need to buy more.
Dude, I have
so it's just like, it's bad.
I have one of those big binders, you know, that you get for like school.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm.
Just full of GOT7. And then I have another one that's full of BT, like the other groups I like BT. And then I have another one of like groups I like that I have their albums, but like don't actively listen to constantly.
Mm-hmm.
That is how my life is organized.
I just have them all in one. It's like this giant fat. It's like the middle school binder I had that zips up. So if any of them fall out, but it is organized by group. It's like BTS, ATs, GOT7, SF9, and then everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
I have like specific, like, you know, those like little ones that like kind of went viral on TikTok, like the little tiny booklets, you know, The only group that has those is GOT7 and they're all fucking full.
Yeah. I'm kind of intimidated to do, first of all, wait, I can show these. What am I going to do about these BTS photo cards that are humongous?
Stupidly dude, big for dude. No reason. Yeah,
I have those, and I have, like, I also have letter-size ones that are, like, 4x6, because sometimes you get those, and so I have another binder. I just put those in that one.
Okay.
Because they don't fit in the regular one.
They don't, and they're, like, it's not like you can get regular sleeves to fit, or, like, these sleeves, like, you know, they're obviously bigger for the photo card, but, like, they don't fit in binder sleeves, and I'm, like, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to fit this?
One that came with wings that was like a normal size photo card, but just longer, the holographic one, for like, yes, no reason. It's just longer.
I have some of those. And I'm like, okay, like, I get that there's going to be like a standard PC size, because like a standard PC is like this. Look, just to see the difference. And I have you know what? For Roxy's sake, here's Yoongi. These are how humongous these are. This is fucking crazy. Like, I get that these are like the standard size, but I'm like, why'd you have to make them bigger? Because now I have to find a way to store them. At least they're sleeved and they're in the process of being sleeved, because I have friends who are on my ass with the fact that I don't sleeve my PCs, but I'm working on it.
I don't either.
They're like, you don't sleeve your PCs? And I'm like, well, it's not like I'm gonna be trading them anywhere.
God, like, this is mine. Just, this is giving me like war flashbacks to Pokemon trading cards.
You got to get them graded and everything.
Like, oh, you can't take, like, you can't touch them or they're not worth anything. Like, I have a fucking holographic Charizard. It's worth $2 because, like, when I was a kid, I would play with it. Like, the people with the cards doing too much, honestly. It's always just like they have to be in perfect condition, but okay, it's just a piece of paper. Like, these are photo cards. They're just, I'm just collecting pieces of paper. They don't need to be perfect.
In my defense, the only ones that I do sleeve for my Pokemon cards are obviously the holographic ones, but those are the only, or like if they're like the rainbow rare, like I'll put them in the thicker, what are they called? The thicker sleeves. You know what I'm talking about. They're PC, like, they, like, yeah, the thicker kind. I put those in those just because I was just like, these are nice. I don't want to mess with these. I will still, like, I have a stack that's big enough to be a whole deck itself, but I'm just like, here, like, at least they're nice, but I'm not going to, like, get them graded or anything. Like, that's not me. I just, they look nice, so I'm going to keep them in a nicer sleeve, but the rest, I don't care. They're honestly, Pokemon cards.
Honestly, collecting photo cards makes sense because, like, when the first Pokemon cards came out, I was all over that shit. I was like, I need all 150 of these.
Mm-hmm.
So photo cards are just a rehashed Pokemon card obsession, mm-hmm, essentially.
And more expensive.
Expensive because, like, if you don't pull, especially if it's a BTS card, if you don't pull, you're biased. People sell that shit on Mercari for like $50. I am not paying that much money for a piece of paper. I'm just not.
I can't say shit because I haven't spent that much, but the most I've ever spent on a photo card was like $20.
And still, yeah, that's like way more than it's actually worth.
I just get what I get, dude. I don't.
I know. I stopped trying to, because like there was a point in time I was trying to get every official Shuga photo card, and I was like, you know, I don't want to do that anymore.
I think the only time I like actually like actively tried to get, and I don't even want to say every card, there was just this one Jin Young photo card that I wanted super bad because he was doing this, and Jin Young doesn't do cute shit. Okay. And so I was like, I want it. I need it. And luckily one of my friends had it, and I had one of the JB ones that she wanted. So we just traded and it worked out.
Trading That's is always the best when it works at.
Always. Yeah.
For me, it's like, there's just these photo cards. Like, I don't want like the whole set, but they're like, I want this specific particular one, that's where I'm like, okay, let me see if I can find it. But like, there's this particular Bangchan one that I want where he's blonde. And I'm like, I want this photo card, but I see people selling it upwards in the hundreds. And I'm like, never mind. I don't want it that bad. No. As much as I like him, I don't want it that bad. And I can't justify spending that much money on it. I'm sorry. I love you, Chris, but...
Nah, Chris.
I was like, I love you, Chris, but I can't pay that much for a photo card. Can you insert that, Robin, can you insert that one where the 8 from 17 is like about the photo cards? You've seen that rant, right? That he goes on?
No.
Oh, you guys don't know about that? So I guess he was in a fan call with somebody and they're talking about photo cards and how it's just like you're like something along the lines. I don't remember the exact translation, but it's like you're getting sad over a photo card. Like, why? Like, it's just you're wasting your money kind of sort of situation.
Indeed, you are.
Like, it's just like it's just a photo card.
Like, it costs like 50 cents to manufacture these. People are charging like 1,000% more than it costs to make.
Yeah.
It's not, it's not worth it.
I'm not going to necessarily like, if you want to collect, hey, I collect too. That's by all means, but just don't do it at a ridiculous price. And also, I'm at the realm where if you can't get it, it's okay. And sooner or later, those that go on sale, once everybody, like, you know, there's people who go through their phases and just get over it. Some, not all. Okay, let's not make that a big thing. There's just some people who will get over it. And you know what? You'll probably find it at a cheaper price later down in the road. So it's just like, if you see somebody selling it right away for like obviously ridiculous amount of money, they're just doing it to get the money out of you. But you will eventually find somebody who was like, I just want this to go to a home at a more reasonable price, you know? There we go. But also just be happy with what you get. But also if you want to complete it, go ahead, complete it. Just don't do it for an absurd amount of money. You could buy a concert ticket for some of these priced out photo cards. Just saying.
Let's do lawsuits.
Do you have anything?
Let's do lawsuits.
Okay. What kind of lawsuits are we going to be talking about? What should we talk about?
Well,
there's been a really spicy one recently.
There has. Out of K-pop because I've been packing.
Talking about Momoland?
No, I was talking about Omega X.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Our babies. Dude, honestly, I'm so glad that they're finally like getting that away from that company.
You know, I actually think that one was worse than even the BAP one.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, wasn't sexual harassment involved also mm-hmm. in the allegations?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God, Jesus Christ, that's insane to me. It's just like, and it's so weird because like, you don't see often sexual harassment cases where the aggressor is a woman.
Yeah.
So the CEO was like, God, just the thought of it is disgusting. They're like children too, aren't they? Aren't they pretty young?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're fairly young. Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, God. Why did anybody let that happen?
Corrupt people.
True. Well, because I know her husband was on the board. Why was he not like, even in the background, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Corrupt people for the money.
Yeah.
Isn't there like, well, I don't know if there's any true factual basis to this, but like, I'm not saying this company, you know what? Let me backtrack. I don't want to get a lawsuit. Never mind. I'm not going to say anything. Never mind.
What lawsuit? We have free speech. We're not in Korea. They can't do anything to us.
True. Well,
you want me to say some shit? I'll say some shit. TS Entertainment is trash. They were stealing money from their idols and they got shut down because they got sued out their ass and they're the worst. What are you going to do? Get me for slander for a company that doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah. The group Tracing, it's the group that came after BAP, like some of their members are finally like I saw some news about them come out, like, you know,
yeah, very recently.
Yeah, like they're finally like something's happening where it's, you know, benefiting them now after they left TS, and that I guess their particular lawsuits are working well, which is good for them. I mean,
theirs were more intense than the BAP one, because the like focus of the BAP lawsuit is that they weren't getting paid, right? And being overworked. But with tracing, they actually had allegations of assault or like abuse. There was like the, I remember reading about it. One of the members like said that a manager like threw a chair at them. There was like shit like that. So it got more intense than what BAP's was. But yeah, the overworking thing is a very interesting topic, because it kind of goes back to the slave contracts. And that I think that was really brought to the forefront with TVXQ, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was like, if you're a New York K-pop fan and you don't know about this lawsuit, history lesson, my God, it is still one of the biggest lawsuits that came out of K-pop. And the three who left are kind of basically mostly blacklisted from main Korean outlets and stuff. Like, they're still doing activities in here and there, but like you'll never see them on like Music Bank or Music Core.
Well, two of them. I don't even think JYJ exists anymore.
Well, one of them.
One of them is wasn't he wrapped up? Was he like in the Burning Sun scandal? Did it all happen at the same time as the Burning Sun scandal?
I thought it was before.
It was like around that time frame, because a lot of shit hit the fan at the same time.
Because yeah, it was like Burning Sun and then the Ninth Room.
Yeah.
Right after one another.
Yeah. It was in that time period, and it's just like, ooh, we don't talk about this one.
I think the other two are fine, though. I think
the other two are fine.
They're having a decent time. Maybe not a good time, because the fact that it's been 10 plus years and SM is still has them blacklisted.
Like,
whoever runs that company holds grudges, dude.
Like, they can still promote in Korea. Like, they're doing activities in Korea. It's just like, like I said, you won't see them in super mainstream channels. Like,
super mainstream entertainment.
Yeah, like what you're used to. So,
I have so many questions, because this happened before I was around. But like, what is it like to be Changmin and Yoonho in this whole situation? That's what I want to know, because what made them decide not to have an issue when the others had an issue?
That's a good question, right? Just
because assuming they're all being overworked, why did they decide that they didn't want to fuck with that and just deal with it? That's what always has made me so curious. Like, I wish I could have a conversation about this, because like, unless those three were lying, which I don't know, I have a hard time believing that somebody would do that and then have their entire career ruined.
I think were false. The like you asking that question, the way I automatically think is like, you know, on how right now they're debuting 15-year-olds and stuff like that, and that they'll do anything to debut. And I think in that case with them, if it was their dream since they were younger, they'll just put like they were the ones that were like, okay, I'll just put up with it. And I feel like they could have probably maybe predicted what would have happened if they went against it, because we all know how big SM is in Korea. So that's,
and they were the biggest boy group at the time.
Exactly. So that's immediately what came to my mind, because you remember like what were you doing at 15, you know? Like, it was your dream. And like, I guess with like TVXQ, they kind of saw how successful they were together, and with it being their dream, they were just like, okay, well, I'm just gonna suck it up. You know, because some people do. And that's why when we don't know as a fan, like if there's anything going on behind the scenes until people leave or until there's a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's immediately what comes to mind for me.
And we just don't know what's in their individual contracts, because people have to like, it's not like here in America, especially when it came to like that, like the band scene, where you're usually signing the whole band. But in K-pop, you're signing individual people, mm-hmm. and you're just making the group from there.
Right.
You sign the individual people and then you make the group. And then there's another signing right after they make the group. And then you have that 7-year contract. And that is why you see so many people either leave the group or disband after the 7 years.
Wasn't the 7-year thing a result of the TVXQ lawsuit?
Because, I believe TVXQ's was 13.
Right. So, but there was a consensus after that, I guess, that was too long.
Mm-hmm.
So they did shorten the contracts. But I mean, if you ask me, fucking 7 years is still too long when you're like, what? Even if you're 18.
Because like, you know, your interest changes. Time goes on. So like, let's say you sign at 15, you debut at 16. 7 years, you're 23. Maybe you don't want to do it anymore, dude.
Right. Like if I had signed a contract for like my first job that was like 7 years long, 2 years into it, I would want to like stab myself in the head. Like, rude. I can't imagine doing something for that long.
Yeah, it's like,
and if you hated it too.
Yeah.
Right.
People's interests change. Like for me, like the first person that I think of when it comes to like wanting out is Sunghoon, I believe, from 100%. Because 100% used to be 7 members, right? And so I think his name was Sunghoon. It's been so long since I've said his name, so I can't remember specifically his name. But 3 years in, he was like, I'm done. And he left. Because like he didn't want to be an idol anymore. Because his interest changed. He was like, I'm over it.
Yeah. Like, sometimes you just fall out of love.
Mm-hmm.
From what, like, you thought this is what you wanted to do, you got a taste for it, and it's like, no, don't want that for me.
Especially when you're young, because you still you think you know something, you think you want something, and then you do, and it turns out not to like meet all of your expectations and dreams, and you're like, oh wait, maybe I don't want to do this.
And it also could be a factor of what's going on behind the scenes that no one knows about,
right?
Yeah,
because exactly. Like, Korea, man, they put up a front in everything. It is so hard to have any idea what the fuck is going on ever, honestly.
Couldn't you also just say that for all celebrities in general?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Because, like, you know, that's why I think celebrity itself can be kind of shitty. Because it's like, you don't actually really see a real person. You see a persona that they put on. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, I've felt that a lot too, because like, you know, when I was younger, I was super into when YouTubers were up and coming, you know, back before that was like a thing people wanted to be. It was just like when YouTube first started and people were just being people, you get attached to that. But then, you know, in the last 10 years or so, so much shit has come out about some of these people that I used to, you know, enjoy. And you're like, God damn, you don't actually know them at all. Like, you feel like you do in the avenue of YouTube, right? But you don't know anything.
That's literally the pinnacle of a parasocial relationship.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we didn't get so attached to parasocial relationships before social media. Because like, you'd see a celebrity on TV or in movies, and it's like, it's not the same as like what feels like that direct thing. And that's what K-pop makes all their money off of.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Because you have that before, like, with, like, you know, TV, you had to wait for a program to come on, right? You had to either that or record it. And recording on a VHS tape, dude? Come on. But, like,
there are some people who are listening to this that don't even know what that is.
Jesus.
But, like, you know, like, with K-pop now, it's like you have that direct content at your grasp at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what creates a parasocial relationship, because you can consume it at one time, and that is what binge watching causes, is more than half the time parasocial relationships. Can you tell that I majored in this? So yeah, it's like the internet definitely created parasocial relationship. But I think I wanted to ask a question. What was y'all's most memorable lawsuit being a K-pop fan?
Good question.
Because I have two that immediately come to mind for me.
I mean, of course, me being the BAP bias here, That one, of course. But I'm trying to think of not that example. What?
You know, when I first got into K-pop, I was really into EXO, but it was like after all that shit happened.
Oh, you're right. I was still there when it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But like hearing about it was like so freaking wild to me. Because like the first EXO I was introduced to was like, oh, how many of them were there?
Was it the 9 13? Or the 10?
12.
12?
Yeah.
This was after...
Who left first, Chris?
Yeah.
Chris.
I was there when Tao left. Okay, so Call Me Baby was the first comeback I saw, and Tao was in that. But then they were like, oh, he's injured, so he's not participating. And then like 2 months later, they're like, oh, he's left. And I got like really emotional. So I would say
Chris, Tao, then Luhan?
No, it was Chris, Luhan, and then Tao.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I think Luhan was only a few months after Chris left.
But like, look at Luhan, though. Luhan is thriving right now.
Although, isn't he like engaged? He's engaged to the girl that he was in the drama with that I watched.
Yeah.
I think people got mad about that, though. Like, I think he's going through a thing because of, you know how it be.
Right.
Because, once again, parallel social relationship.
Right. Mans is old enough to get married. Jesus Christ.
They don't want anything that they can't have.
Yeah. Which makes me sad, you know, thinking about that makes me sad. Well, we don't talk about Chris anymore. I have happily let go of that bias a long time ago because he used to be my EXO bias. And then he left. And I was just like, I'm still going to support Chris. Not anymore. Hell no.
Dude, can we talk? I just want to talk real quick about Chen. I was so scared when Chen announced all of his stuff.
Same.
I was terrified because I was like, what is SM going to do? Because I already knew XOLs were going to, you know, do their thing.
Some hoes were sitting outside protesting the SM building. I was like, girl, please.
My friend sent me a video. She was like, you like Chen, right? I was like, yeah. She goes, oh, I just walked by SM today and this is what happened. I was like,
You know, I commend him, though. I really do, because he came out with his whole chest and was like, I'm going to be a father and I'm getting married. I don't remember what the order was.
No, he came out with his whole chest saying, I'm been hoeing around. I've been hoeing around, got a girl pregnant, and we get married. Shit.
But he has two kids. XOLs, don't
come. XOLs, that's not what happened. I'm just making a joke.
Yes. No, but seriously, he's like, I met a girl. I really like her. We're having kids. And now they have two, right?
And it's just so funny because like, it was when he was in the military. So, you know, those days off, he was getting down, dude.
Hey, good for you. Good for you. I cannot
blame him, dude. Do you know how freaking boring it is to be part of the military that doesn't do anything?
True.
Or it's just like, I have downtime. Like, it's a day where I don't have a lot going for me. You know?
Have they managed to keep her identity secret so far?
Yes. Yes.
Thank God. I can't imagine being like a normal person that like falls in love with an idol and then has to deal with the repercussions of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't. See, this is why like people have this thing where they're like, I want to date an idol. No, you do not. You do not want to be the target.
It's so stressful because like you never know who's following you. You never know if dispatch is around because you know dispatch be doing.
They do some shit. They be doing the shit. Most.
But they also get paid off. So, yeah, like, I don't know if that's more slimy or not.
Like, if the company wants to pay them off, then so be it. In my point of view, company wants to pay it off, sure, whatever. So, yeah.
Isn't it like some of them orchestrate stuff too? Like,
there's been allegations that like some, because Dispatch does that thing at the end of the year where they release a couple, right? So people have said sometimes it's orchestrated. Like I heard that Kai and Jenny being together was fake.
It seemed like it, because it's just like...
It was like a month long. They were like, yeah, and then we broke up. Like, that's why it feels fake, but I don't... Who the fuck knows?
Dude, I don't...
I don't care. So
I don't like, care.
I did like the IU and Lee Jong-suk, though, just because that's so cute. Like, we love it when people are happy. But, dude, like,
when they dropped JV and his girlfriend, I was like, damn, she fucking fine as fuck, dude.
Right, and she's a content creator.
I was like, damn, good job, JB.
You know what? We're in that realm. We're like, you know what? Good for you, as you should. Damn, hold on. Wait, I don't know who's luckier, him or her.
I know. And it's like, JB's younger than me, so I'm like, way to go, dude. It is time. It is your time.
Exactly. You should be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
So EXO is a good memorable one.
Yeah, that one was so dramatic.
Because it was like the first of its kind, really, if you think about it.
Kind of, sort of.
What the, kind of, like the way that SM handled it, first of its kind.
Yeah, because they didn't handle how Hankang left Super Junior. They didn't handle that well either, because that was the next one to follow after TVXQ. And so
basically SM is bad at handling when people leave groups.
Yeah, but like why are they still so big if they are so like if they mistreat people so bad? That's my question.
I don't know. I guess for me the one that another one for me was Jessica leaving. I mean, that hurt because I love
Jessica. I'm gonna cry right here right now.
I love Jessica in Girls' Generation.
She was my bias, dude. That's the only reason why I paid attention.
Her and Tiffany were like my favorite too.
I think that all of us have been personally victimized by an SM lawsuit. Like, I think everyone collectively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. I can't think of the other ones that are big enough to like have made like what?
I mean, there's two that come to mind in my realm. GOT7.
Well, yeah.
Did they have a lawsuit, or are you talking about when they got their rights?
Huh?
Because like they didn't actually file a lawsuit. Did they file a lawsuit against JYP? Or was JB like, I'm just gonna go in here and get my shit?
It was kind of both a little bit.
Because like we all knew they weren't gonna re-sign with JYP. Like it was very obvious.
We saw that coming. Yeah.
Right. But I just didn't know if there was like an actual lawsuit for their contracts before they went away.
No, it like not like lawsuit for contracts, it's more of a lawsuit of like getting their rights.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like because like no one's really done that before, so it's like, oh shit, okay, cool. And then the second one for me is when Elja left Teen Top.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh my god,
that was great. So for those of you who don't know, before I was a GOT7, like GOT7 being my alt, Teen Top was my alt group, and in 2016 Elja had filed a lawsuit against Top Media because Top Media is not the best company. And don't get me wrong, I love Andy from Shinhwa. I do. His company's kind of trash. Okay, so he had filed a lawsuit against Top Media in order to leave the company because they gave them false hope of like being able to be in a drama, and like a big drama at the time too. I can't remember which one it was, but like a big drama. And that he would have a solo album because he was producing a lot of songs at that time. And they were like, oh, yeah, you'll get it. 3 years later, never gets it. And so he was like, I'm out, deuces. And so he filed a lawsuit against T-Top, or not T-Top, against Top Media. And he was deuces, dude. And I just saw him yesterday on my Twitter and I was like, how you been?
Yeah, what is he doing?
Nothing.
Which is sad because Eljo was my favorite from Team Top. He was my bias. I remember when Robin came to me and she's like, Jay, Eljo's doing this. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, like I had a moment where I was like crying, but it was also the time. That was the moment where I realized I became a mature K-pop fan because I was like, okay, cool, do whatever. Like, yeah, I'm sad that you're leaving, but like, okay.
It's like, you know, the one thing I always wonder about these lawsuits, because like 90% of the time you don't hear the outcome of them.
No.
And I wonder, is that because 90% of the time they just settle out of court? Like, yeah. I don't think a lot of these actually go to litigation.
I know with Eljo's they settled out of court.
Yeah. I don't remember what the EXO members did.
Well, I think
Chris went and lost.
I think Chris lost, but like because Chris was the first one to do it, Luhan and Tao following after him, I think it set up, okay, this possibly might happen where they might leave. So I think they already had certain things
in place,
already set in place afterward so that they can be like, okay, if you do want to go, how do we navigate that? We know how to navigate this better. So it doesn't end up being such a, like, it's still a big thing, but not as big of an impact.
You know, my brain is thinking, like, in court, Chris versus SM Entertainment. I don't want anybody to win that. I want them both to lose. So I'm like, I'm glad Chris lost, but at what cost? Because SM won that. Do you know what I mean?
Right. And I think, like, even though Chris, I could be wrong, but this, I'm trying to remember. I think when Chris left, technically, yes, he left, but he still was contracted under SM. He still had to do, like, he still had to have his name attached to it somehow, I think. I don't remember. So it's like he wasn't fully out of it until his contract really was like, yeah, you can leave, but, you know, your name, your rights are still technically us.
Mm-hmm.
I guess SM's happy that whatever fucking happened and caused him to go to jail didn't happen while he was still in SM.
Yeah, true.
Ain't wrong there.
I don't know, Mans. You could sometimes see his bad attitude in shows. Maybe not if you didn't have, like, a prior knowledge, but I would go back and watch EXO Showtime, and I'm like, damn, he's kind of a bastard. I'm like, he's not acting right.
Dude, Chris was always my last thought, Nick. Sorry to say, but, like, I didn't care for Chris, and so finding all this stuff about him, like, loser.
Yeah, I had the pink goggles view on me, so I didn't pick up on that until, like, yeah, after he left, we're like,
yeah, I heard some rumors right about shit after he left. I was like, ooh, that's not good. Like, he's fucking around, not doing good shit. I mean, but that just proves that, like, they put up a front and you have no idea, you know, right? Like, nobody knew the extent of, like, how foul Chris was as a human when he was in SM.
Yeah.
And part of that is the idol image. They, when they're, yeah, like, I want to be an idol, they make sure that they don't appear awful.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not anybody's fault if they don't see it. You know what I mean?
Right. I think it, well, just bringing it back, just like the illusion of it, you know, like, try not to get so immersed into the illusion of it, because, like, again, I think we've always said it on this podcast, you really don't know who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
They sell you the persona. They sell you the image.
And it's like, if you ever do meet them, or, like, you have people that meet them or people in the industry, you will hear a lot of shit about people.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah. And you can't say anything about anything.
Nope.
Yep, because it's nope. Either the company's coming after you or the fans, which, yeah, is the worst. Which is the worst option.
I guess the other most recent thing that's happening that I can think of right now is Luna.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the girls lost their lawsuit.
You know what was interesting about that? Because, like, it was announced that all but one member, I think, filed a lawsuit after they kicked you out. And then immediately after, BlockBerry's like, Luna's having a comeback. And everybody's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And this is the only time I've ever seen this happen. Nobody pre-ordered anything. Like, their sales were down 98% or something like that from pre-orders, so they canceled the comeback.
Holy shit.
I also remember seeing tweets of people, you know, like, fans going around like, hey, can you contact these vendors? Like, these people who are selling albums, tell them not to stock them. Don't support it.
I've, like, never seen something of that scale work because, you know, people just assume, I just assume that people are still gonna buy shit. You know what I mean?
I think it's because of the new generation now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, in our older generation, something like that happens and people are still going to support, you know? But, like, with the, like, newer generation K-pop and Gen Z being, like, joining in K-pop and everything there. I'm a Zillennial. Like, I'm right in the middle of being Gen Z and Millennial because, like, I grew up as a Millennial, but I still have, like, some of the features of a Gen Z. So I'm, like, a Zillennial. I know Gen Z don't put up with shit. And I commend it. I commend it.
I don't think BlockBerry was prepared for that.
No.
You know, which is also, I love watching chaos ensue. So I was delighted to see this happen. I was like, I want to see more chaos in this world. I think sometimes we need to break the status quo. So it was lovely to see that. We put that in the content sheet. I was like, I really hope nobody signs up for this. I don't want anybody to cover this.
Like, and it's just, I feel for those girls because, like, again, like, the allegations of, like, they only had, like, 20-minute breaks throughout just, or one 20-minute break the whole day to do whatever they want, if that is true. And I'm like, these girls, oh my God.
I can't get over their tour. They were falling by the dozen, dude. Literally.
Yeah, true, because they were getting COVID and getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that was a thing too, that's like a big scandal now, is that they started lying about who was testing positive for COVID.
Right.
So that they could, that happened to Omega X, right? They still had to perform when they were sick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, maybe some people don't get deathly ill, but that's still like really terrible.
It still takes a toll on your body.
Right.
Dude,
it says the person
sucks.
Who has gotten it twice.
Yeah, COVID sucks, dude.
Yeah. Fuck no. Absolutely. Like, please, like, I think we've always said it, especially last year, is just like, please be safe. You know, take care of yourselves. You know, we can't force anybody to wear a mask or anything, but just be mindful of your surroundings. And if you're sick, stay home. Stay home, please. Just stay home. Don't get other people sick. But anyways, it's just the way how some of these tours, like, you can even tell sometimes too, it's just like there's something off.
Yeah.
They clearly, like, there's a vibe off, especially when they come on these tours. It's like,
Like, I saw 17 when they came, and for their Houston stop, Mingyu and Dino were sick with COVID. Yeah. And so it was like, I will always say that 17 is one of the best groups to see perform live, because I didn't even realize that Mingyu and Dino weren't there until they started doing their introductions, like, oh, hi, I'm Bokyum and stuff. I didn't realize until then. I was like, oh shit, where's Mingyu and Dino? Like, 17 are great performers, but like, you could kind of tell, like, it was like, okay, like, you knew. I'm jealous of Dallas, though. They got a full concert with all 13. I'm jealous, but like, yeah, like, I think I honestly, like, I did go to BTS in 2021. Jay knows, because we went together. But like, I still think that we kind of like push for concerts way too soon.
Yeah.
Especially with how America is treating COVID. So.
But. Yeah. Though I do appreciate a lot of, during the BTS concert, a lot of people were like, hey, wear a mask, you know? You had to, but also it's just like, I felt like there was a general consensus, like, yeah, like, of course. Yeah. Understand, because we don't want to get anybody sick, but there was still people who did.
Yeah, but like, I remember going from BTS in November of 2021 to going to Twice in Dallas 2022, and like, it was somewhere in Fort Worth, their stadium had a mask mandate, because, you know, which is funny to me, because Texas was the first state where they're like, okay, yeah, you don't need to wear a mask. So, like, to have a mask mandate, was I surprised that people weren't wearing their masks? No. But, like, it was such a, like, a day and night kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ugh, I don't like this. I have another question. Now, this is a doozy. Get ready. So, do you guys think that the idols who have been wrongfully removed from a group because of rumors should be able to make a lawsuit against their company, their former company?
Ooh.
So I think it depends on if they chose to leave because of the rumors, or if
the company removed them. So, like, obviously it'd be if the company removed them.
Yes, I do. I think that's a breach of contract or like an oversight. It's like an overstepping of boundaries on the company front. Because I still think these companies don't handle these things very well. Just because I think they jump the gun so fast. Or even the idols themselves jump the gun so fast. Like, it doesn't even matter if those rumors are true or not. Because everybody just takes it as they are, and then they're gone.
Yeah. Like,
which I think is insane.
Obviously, the big one was Wonho.
Yeah, that one made me really mad. Was that that bitch that did that?
Did it and try to get another, like, boy group member to leave? It wasn't Monsta X, but it was another boy group. She tried to get them to be removed.
Wasn't there something about going on about Shonu?
Yes, oh, at I the think same it was time.
Shonu. Yeah,
yeah,
like around the same, like around the same time. Like I think Wano's happened first, and then they jumped on to Shonu.
To Shonu, yeah,
and it was her. She did that too, right? She's the one.
Yeah.
So
why is she allowed to have a voice?
Well, you know, Wanho filed a lawsuit against her for defamation.
Did he? Did he win?
I don't know. I think it's still ongoing.
Defamation cases are hard.
I know they are. But if anybody deserves to be guilty of defamation, it's that. God, she makes me so. I would fight her on sight if I ever saw her in person.
I would
run up and punch her in the mouth. Like, I wouldn't even hesitate. She's the worst person in the entire world. Maybe not the entire, okay, she's like the worst. I have so many feelings. I got so mad. Everything that she did in 2019 made me want to.
Yo, that like when that happened, like I kid you not, that happened 3 months after I saw them live. I was like, thank God I saw Monster when I did. Shit.
I know. I saw them in 2018. I was like, thank Jesus I made that choice.
I've never seen them live in their own solo concert, but I have had the chance to see them at KCON, which was. And I got to be like face to face to them at one point. So I was just like, okay.
You know, that whole thing soured me to the group, I think.
I think that whole year was just horrible because there were rumors going left and right about everyone. Like the next one I immediately think of is Sujin from G Idol. Because she had rumors against her and she got removed.
Wasn't that in 2021? That was the bullying scandal.
It was like 2019 to 2021. Like, rumors were going around so often.
Oh, speaking of like things that were going around, AOA, the bullying stuff.
Oh yeah, with Mina and Jimin.
That was insane.
That was also crazy. Like,
because like I do think Jimin is the kind of person that would do that. She gives off the vibes. But then the way that, like, Mina handled it was not good either. Like, it was just too much.
I think there was a lot of spiraling out that happened. And I mean, when you are going through a trauma, it happens. But, like, to witness it was wild.
I think somebody should have taken social media away from her, to be honest.
Like, just for her own peace of mind. I was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
That shit's crazy.
And I think Jimin just made a solo comeback too recently.
Did she actually?
Yeah.
Because I think the general consensus was that she's like she's guilty.
Because like it was like deemed that everything was false.
Was it?
Who knows? I feel like there's some truth to every lie. So maybe like some of the allegations, like I'm not trying, like I don't want to victim blame, obviously. Like, let me put that out there. But I feel like there's always some truth to some lie. So if it was a lie, there had to be been some truth behind it.
There's maybe no one that's 100% correct.
Exactly. Maybe it wasn't as severe, but maybe stuff did happen like she said it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never, like, that's the thing about being a fan. You don't know.
Yeah.
You can only speculate.
Have either of you watched that drama, The Glory?
No.
No, but I've heard of it.
So I started watching this because I was intrigued. I heard that it's basically a revenge story about a girl who gets severely bullied, like, in high school. And then goes on and they're, like, 35 now and she starts enacting all this revenge on these people that hurt her. But they show this, there's this one particular scene that I think they use to highlight, like, how bad bullying is in Korean schools, where she gets burned with a curling iron. Like, these bullies take a curling iron to her arm and give her permanent burns.
I've seen that clip, yeah.
Yeah, and some people have said it is based on a true story. I don't know if that's honest or not. Like, I don't know how true that is. But it, like, it's supposed to highlight that, like, bullying in Korea is not the same as bullying in the United States.
Right.
Necessarily. It's more severe. So
I also feel like with bullying in the States, especially recently, it's more online.
Yeah,
it is like in person, whereas in Korea it's both.
Yeah. So it's just like, I think that's why some people flip out about the bullying allegations, because they're children, but like if they're burning people with curling irons, like I don't want them to be idols either, you know what I mean?
Right.
But again, there's no guaranteeing that it's that severe. Maybe they were just little assholes, I don't know. some kids are just assholes.
Yeah.
And
that's kind of like
for me, the way how it is like, I think, was it both of you brought up, it's just like, if, or maybe it was Roxy that brought it up earlier, where kind of like, if something comes out, people just go along with it, and it's the whole innocent until proven guilty. That is not a concept.
No
in K-pop, that is not a concept at all. No. To like a lot of people, they're like, yes, but at the same time, no, they run with it.
I don't think people realize it's not a black and white thing. So yeah, like in the example of Jimin, maybe she was mean, okay? Maybe she was being a mean girl and did inflict this trauma on Mina. That doesn't mean that she caused Mina to, like, try to take her own life.
There's other factors, too.
Right. So, like, you can't blame it all on her, but at the same time, she did bad. Like, it's a grayscale.
Right.
So you can't heavily punish a person just because, like, they did a little bit. Something a little bad. I don't know. I think it's, people jump the gun too fast.
Yeah. And I mean, another one who we haven't even talked about in this lawsuit a lot. We do not name him because he was part of a big band. And it was just like, we know bad shit happened. He's associated with bad shit.
Are you talking about Burning Sun?
It is that one, right? That
yes.
Sungri is a part of?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, he's like the figurehead of it. He was the main one in that situation. Yeah.
And it's just like, like, that's not good, you know? Mm. And like, obviously there's things, like, there has to be something that has come about it. So it's just like, if it was nothing, they would have already found something, wouldn't they?
I don't know, because like, you also like look at like the whole Gotham thing from Le Sserafim. Because like, literally what was it, a week after they debuted, they came
out? Yeah, it
literally
was like immediate.
So it's like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like if they got wrongfully accused of something and the company kicks them out, they should be able to follow a lawsuit. Not only against the person that made the rumor, but also the company, because that's a breach of contract. So
right. No, I agree.
But if they have done scummy shit, yes. Duh.
Like, it's like, yes, if they have done scummy shit and it's actually true, then bring it to light. But like, dude, if you just want to make someone's life hell.
And people do that.
A girl from Wonho. A girl with Wonho. If you just want to make someone's life hell.
And see, that was the thing. That was what pissed me off too, is that it's so well known that this bitch makes things up to ruin people's lives. And
but she
still
did it with other idols before him, right?
Yeah, she like freaking Top almost died.
Hanbin. B.I.
Hanbin. I was really mad about that one too. Although he said that he did go searching for drugs or whatever.
But he admitted to some of the things that he did.
Right.
So it's just like, he's like, yeah, I did it.
And you know, it's like, and the fact that YG kicked him out for like looking for drugs when like G-Dragon, like he had a whole a marijuana scandal because that's what Korea does, and they didn't kick him out.
Well, it was Top.
It was both of them.
Both of them.
Oh.
But that's what made me so heated about Hanbin, is that it was like, you had other idols in your company that did the same thing, but yet you're kicking the young one out. Like, I just
feel like YG was scared of Hanbin.
Why? Because he was like too good?
Yeah. I mean, look at him now.
I know. I mean, that's wholly possible because he's probably a better producer than Teddy. So
true. Fuck Teddy, dude. Fuck Teddy. Okay, so I think we should move on to the next topic.
There was one more I wanted to talk about.
Oh.
Or a couple more that I wanted to talk about. Not related to idols, though.
Ooh.
Does anybody remember? Sorry, I have cookie butter in my teeth. Does anybody remember about the lawsuit with the former member of GLAM and how she blackmailed a high prominent actor?
Oh, yeah. And she went to jail. That
one was fucking crazy, right?
Yeah, that bitch went to jail.
But she's back.
She out now?
Mm-hmm. She's back and she's still doing stuff.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
She's not blacklisted?
Yeah, I would say. Wouldn't she be blacklisted from the industry?
She's doing stuff on YouTube.
Who was the actor that she blackmailed? It was a huge name.
Lee Byung-hun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Byung-hun. Ah.
Do you remember that when that came out?
Dude, that came out and I read it. That came out.
Is that why? Is that why Big Hit almost went bankrupt? Because Glam was a big hit group.
That was the reason why they didn't come out with girl groups afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you don't see a girl group under Big Hit.
Right.
You see that's why now that they've acquired Pledis and Source, that's why we have girl groups under HYBE. Like, they're not going to be associated with the Big Hit name, but they're going to be in the entity that it holds Big Hit now. Because I don't think Big Hit wants to try girl groups after that ever again. They're like, there's another company who can do girl groups better, and it's not going to be us. And they realize that. So, and it was just, at the time, Lee Byung-hun, like, if you don't know him, he is the game maker in Squid Game. He is, who's he in? G.I. Joe? He was in the G.I. Joe movies here in America. You'd probably recognize his face here and there. He's a very prominent actor in Korea, and he has stepped his foot into Hollywood too. And then at the time, he just got married to another big actress. And I think around that time, they just announced their pregnancy, too. And
God, it was what a bitch. Like, she wanted to burn him down for some... Did he, like, turn her down or something?
I don't know.
Because, like, why the fuck was she just trying to ruin his life?
Who knows?
Who knows? People have different motives. And I was just like, I remember when that was going around. And sure, like it's more in relation to him. But the fact that it was a K-pop idol to this prominent actor, and it was just like, what? I mean, we know that a lot of people have skeletons in their closets. Like, we can't, you know, hey, whatever you do behind the scenes, this is what you do. I'm not gonna judge, but I was just like, the fact that this was coming to the forefront was crazy at the time. And another one I wanted to bring up, does anyone remember what happened to Tiara?
Were lawsuits involved with that? Or because I just know it was like a huge bullying issue.
Well, bullying that led to like the termination of contracts and also just wild shit happening. And now you're like, what is going on? But happy for Jihyun. Jihyun's married and her wedding photos are really cute. But, like, I'm just like, yo, these things have happened.
So... for our next topic, we're going to talk about organic K-pop.
Oh, gosh.
So, to you guys, what is your definition of organic K-pop?
Oh, gosh. This is a hard topic.
Music produced by the performers.
Okay.
I just say that because I am a person that did the heavy metal to K-pop route, not emo. I was not an emo kid. I was a heavy metal kid. And in that industry, the artists control everything, right? Unlike our pop industry has the producers, the songwriters, all of that, and the performers. But in the metal scene, basically the bands run everything. So to me, that has more meaning. Mm. But at the same time, I do think there are instances of K-pop where you have a producer or songwriter working with the artist that is very, like, genuine. So it's not as black and white. Like, it doesn't have to be made by the artist. I've just found songs where the artist, the performers are involved, tends to have more meaning. Their music seems to be worth something. It's not just like a something made to go viral, if that makes sense.
The more involved the idols, the better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Jay?
I think also, well, I guess I'm coming from an older mindset of being a fan of, like, the come up was a like gradually happen.
Kind not of like Not like today where it's like, oh, you debut under high, boom, you're big.
Not like New Jeans, basically.
I'm not gonna knock their songs because I like their songs.
Their songs do be catchy, okay? Like, I get it. They finally got me, but still.
Like, I guess it's just the anticipation, I guess, factor of it, I feel like is much more organic to me, where it's just like, it's not associated with the label per se, but like the teasers, like the marketing that they put out for these groups, genuinely capturing my attention and being like, oh, wait a minute, like this is a concept or a style or a sound that I really like. Let me just try. And you know what? I can say this about, I'm very, very glad that we did this as a rookie highlight at one point. Roxy introducing me to XG, if she didn't put me on the list for XG, I wouldn't be invested as how I am right now.
I put you on the list for XG. What did I do?
You put the name on the list, or the name, because I didn't know who these rookie groups are. You know, you were just like, hey, here's the list of rookie groups. Let's look into it. And I remember when we were doing that rookie roundup, XG was the name of a girl group that really stuck out to me. And if Roxy didn't put that name on that list, I wouldn't know who they are. And then, so it's just like these smaller groups, yes, they're in more indie, but it's just like, wait, this is a sound. I like their sound. I like their style. I can get behind this girl group. And then Mascara came out and now they just made the comeback with Shooting Star. And I'm just like, I really like this. To me, that feels organic, where I can just be like, here's a name. I don't really know anybody else or anything about them. Check them out. And you want to be more invested. That's how I feel like it's organic to me. Knowing like, okay, like there's something that I don't really hear much else going on about this group, or like there's just something that like I'll watch one thing and something captures my attention and I'm like, okay, I'll invest my time. To me, that's organic. I know everybody else's definition can be different.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just like, it's hard when you have the big flashy stuff. Not to say that it's bad. It's just like, sometimes I kind of miss when budget wasn't a factor about wanting to capture the attention of, you know, a group or an artist.
It makes others at a disadvantage, right? So, like, my example for New Jeans, because they are under the Hybe label, although that the woman who produces them wants to argue about this, but because it's that label, they already almost have a guaranteed set of success, essentially. And just having, like, good music on top of that is what made them skyrocket, I would say. Very catchy music. Stuff like that. But I don't know. I think when you start from something smaller and have to work harder, there's just a more honesty put into it, or more like a more, I don't even know how to put it into words. I think of BTS this way. Like, the reason I think BTS is so big, especially if you paid attention when they were before they blew up, like in 2013, Big Hit was like barely able to feed them. They were running out of money, shit like that. They struggled to get any attention on anything because of the big three. Groups from the big three would take up all the airtime. So they really had to put everything into getting attention and getting sales. And I feel like the reason people connect so much with BTS is because their music is written by them for the most part. They're very involved in the creation of their music, or at least they were. And there was a message that people could really resonate with in that music. And that's what made them so popular, is that this is like, people hear their own experiences through the music and it translates and makes them feel good. And I think that's what makes them feel organic to me as artists. So I prefer artists that seem genuine as opposed to mass produced for popularity. And that's just because I'm like a go against the grain kind of person, obviously. So there are certain K-pop songs that I'm like, this is made to go viral. Like, I don't think there's anything behind this. It's like a basic song with basic lyrics that's catchy so that this group will get more attention, more sales. But I just think that to me just makes it seem so shallow.
I think also when it comes to being organic in K-pop is like, we come from an era where, like, remember when the milestones were like, it took longer to get to those milestones.
The milestones were like 100,000.
Yeah. And then once you got to that million, you're like, whoa, you did that, you know? And now that's such an easy achievement now for a lot of more bigger groups. It's still harder for the small ones that are trying to put out their names out there. And like, because there's such an oversaturation of so many groups, not only they already debuted, but are also debuting or in the process of debuting, it's harder for them to get those numbers, you know, per se, if you're not associated with it. So pros and cons to that. But like, I guess I miss that feeling of like, oh my God, they did that. I can't believe it.
You literally kind of like led into my next question. I was going to ask, do you feel like with like organic K-pop today for older fans is kind of like a nostalgic way of going back into the past K-pop? Like, let's say you're an older fan and you like, yeah, you listen to all these like newer groups, but then you see like a group like kind of debuting from a smaller company, not part of the big four. You know, do you feel like that kind of like is like a blast to the past by supporting a smaller group?
Yeah.
To an extent. Because I really felt this way about ATEEZ when they debuted. They're not from like a small company, but KQ was not the biggest company. So I remember when they came out with Hala Hala, I was like, I had the similar feeling that I did when I first saw like BTS stuff. And I was like, this is it. They're going to be something. So I do think there is definitely a factor in that. Like, you kind of latch on to like something that you were that felt a lot to you at the time. And then seeing it recreated makes you feel that
nostalgic feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's how I feel about XG right now. It's just like, oh my God. Like, first of all, like, they're all so cute and pretty. I love their style, you know, and you're just like, oh my God, I must protect, you know? I just, like, I want them to do well, you know? Because I think I, like, with a group like XG, where primarily all of their members are all Japanese, but they're promoting in Korea, and they're doing songs in English, too, you know? And it's just, like, one of those more, like, this is different. But you're coming out with really great music. I like your style. And so I want to like root for them. And I was just like, yeah, they're like, this is for me, like, this is, they're the future. Like, they're one of the groups that I feel like, give them some more time, this girl group is going to be huge. Mm. Like, in that's like when I approach some of these smaller groups or like newer groups that manage to really capture my attention, and we're like, be on the lookout, like, you just don't know it, but this group is gonna be big. Mm. And I hope so, really hope so. And so it just makes you want to root for them even more. And so I like, I come from the realm of, I want to protect this girl group so bad, please don't go away. I really like you. I'm gonna be really sad kind of situation.
So then, in y'all's opinion, what group do you think is like the best example of organic in K-pop? Other than BTS, we can't say BTS. Because obviously BTS is a good example, but like
a more
other
current than BTS. One?
Huh?
Are we talking about a more current group?
Any group. Like, it could be old, new.
I mean, I obviously, since I made the connection already, I would say ATEEZ.
ATEEZ.
Yeah, because I think Hongjoong to me reminds me a lot of Yoongi. Just because he's like spends so much time working on music and does so much for the group, stuff like that. And I think they sort of ran too with like the concept, like the intense concept thing. We didn't really get that until like BTS and EXO also did it with their fucking superpower shit. Like the super in-depth, insane concept shit going on. So now ATs are like pirates in space that are overthrowing the government and time traveling shit like that, which is a little much for me. But I mean, like, I just think, I think they're attached to their music. I think you can tell if a group doesn't really connect with their own music, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I think they're a group that connects with their music and puts, like, puts their own heart into it.
I don't know why when you said that, I immediately thought of Red Velvet and how much they hate Rookie. I don't know why. Maybe that was the first thing that came to mind.
I mean, that was a kind of repetitive song. I get it, but
I hate that song from them.
We featured it back in the day. I know. On a monthly.
Yes, but it's still a song that I don't like. That and Umpa Umpa. Sorry, I have to put that out there.
I don't like a lot of their Red concepts anymore. Although, like, Red Flavor was like the fucking bomb.
Bad Boy. That's it.
That was my era for them. Anyways, going back on, I think for me, God, okay, like, there's two groups who come to mind aside from BTS. I just like how they how their come up was to me, and learning about how their comeback is. First of all, the first one was SHINee for me. Like, immediately when you posed that question, I was like, SHINee. Like, because yes, they were from SM. They were still the smaller group, but like, as they got more into their style and their music, and it just felt right.
Right.
They knew what they were doing. They knew their style. And you know that the members have worked on, Jonghyun had worked on some of their music too. And so it's just like, you can tell, like, this was SHINee. This right. was SHINee, and it will always be SHINee's thing. And even now, when I'm so excited for this comeback that's about to happen this year, first of all, because we're gonna get all of them back again. Like, even though they dipped into different styles and concepts, it still fit SHINee, and they knew how to execute it really well. And it, like, you know, because they were in second gen, where, you know, it wasn't as high intense, like. Now there's more budget. Back then, it was still kind of like,
yeah,
we had to work our way up there and get ourselves to where we are now. And so to see them go from, like, this is just a small rookie boy group in from SM. Let's see where this goes. They had really great songs, because I feel like SM knew what they were doing when they came up with SHINee. And then to just see them now, and it's just like, wow. I'm, like, really happy to be a fan.
It's like a humbling experience, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm very, very just happy to see the growth happen. And even though they've been around for so long, nothing has changed. Right. It's still impactful. Their music still gets you. Their solo stuff still fucking gets you. Like, listen, their solo stuff, like, it's just to that, for me, it's the extension of their SHINee universe, mm-hmm. you know? And it still feels like, yes, we are doing solo stuff, but it still has this SHINee, like, thing to them.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's where, like, that falls into the category for me of, like, groups that very much put their heart into their music. And it's like an intangible thing that I can't explain. But if you give me a group, I could be like, yes, that's like, they're that or they're not.
What you said, it's just like, their heart is in their music.
There's like a piece of them in it, and you can feel it.
Yeah. And it didn't matter whether they're going solo or as the group, you can still feel it. Like, and it just works for right. SHINee and like these groups who are like this. Another one for me, yes, I'm going to talk about them. Sorry, I have to bring up Stray Kids.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
And just like, again, another group where you can feel their members who have worked on their music. You can feel Three Racha in their songs. You can feel it. Concepts might not necessarily be a concept that, you know, that they thought of themselves, and that's fine. But the music, mm-hmm. you and the heart that they put into it, and the effort, and the everything that is the package of Stray Kids, to me, is why I was just like, I kind of am mad, like, why did I get into them sooner? kind of situation. But knowing what they had gone through, because they were another group, like, twice, where they were, like, part of that survival, curating their group. And then you see them now, and you, like, till now, you can feel the heart in their music, just like Shiny. Not to say that there's not groups that don't have their heart in it, but there's sometimes where it's just like there is that gleaming factor that you can right. just know it's there.
The word that came to my mind was manufactured. Like, I think you can tell the difference between something that is manufactured and that is not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, there are some manufacturing isms of the what went into the creation of this group, but you can tell when, like, the song is just, like, here for the sake of putting out a song here.
Yeah.
For some of these groups.
So, like, for me personally, three groups come to mind. One, GOT7, duh. Because, and like, not beginning GOT7, obviously, because
no, that's the interesting thing about yeah. GOT7 is because in the beginning it was very much just JYP.
It was very much JYP, but you hit 2016, 2017 when JB started doing their shit. Boom. Like, bye JYP. We don't need you. Goodbye. Like, that's where you can see like they're committed, they're growing, they're getting bigger, and that JB's a better producer than JYP. Okay, but then the second group I think of is Infinite, because Woolim, brand new Infinite first group, and they built that group from the bottom up, or that company from the bottom up. And though, like, they didn't have much say in, like, you know, the production and all that, like, if you think about it, if it wasn't for Infinite, all these Woolim groups that debuted wouldn't have happened, even though I think there's only, like, two groups, maybe three, outside of Woolim. But, like, I just think of Infinite because, like, Infinite, I don't think people really realize how big Infinite really was in K-pop back in the day. Like, Infinite was huge. And then the third one I have to say is two groups, but, like, same company, Sistar and Boyfriend.
Oh, out for my heart.
Because yes. they debuted for Starship. Yeah, Starship. Am I right? Okay. They debuted for Starship and built that company from the ground up. And I just want Boyfriend to get the recognition they deserve, God damn it.
Yeah, you know, the sad thing is, like, 85% of the people you talk to wouldn't even know who Boyfriend is.
Right. Which was sad because that was their first boy group.
First boy group. First time doing anything of that sort. First group to disband in the weirdest fucking way. But then come back 2 years later for their 10-year anniversary and is still actively promoting, but under a different name and a smaller label.
Boyfriend's See, doing I don't even all. I didn't even know that. What
that
label
I didn't
they
know
under?
Either. I did not
yeah,
know.
Yeah, they came back for their 10-year anniversary, which was in
that I know. But I didn't know that they were under
still,
another
They company. Still actively promote as a group.
All of them?
Yeah, Wait all of them. All six members.
Well, what's the group name?
BF.
Ah. Oh wait, now I remember hearing about that. Briefly. They still don't get a lot of attention though.
No. Not at all.
Very underrated group. Like, yes. Hey, is it Janus? Janus? That was Janus. Still my song. That is my song.
I fell in love with the twins.
Same.
The twins were my biases, so.
Minwoo was my favorite.
I liked Youngmin. Youngmin was the dork. I mean, not the dork, but like the older brother, but like was also like, I'm clumsy, I'm quirky.
I'm not like other boys.
Yeah, basically. But like those are the groups that come to mind because like for me, my definition of K-pop, like organic K-pop, is like kind of like growing a company from the ground up.
You know who I thought of too, now that you just brought up that Astro. Like, I love, because they did the whole cutesy thing. Then
we don't talk about it. Don't talk about that. Let's just get really, like, let's just skip all of that and get to Crazy Sexy Cool. Okay, let's just.
Listen, once they came out with Crazy Sexy Cool, it was just like, wait a minute.
Let's just skip all of that and go to Crazy Sexy Cool, shall we?
Hey, but I liked, like, debut, like, beginning eras of Astro. That was really cute. You know, it's another example of, like, yeah, sure, that they had a, like, they had a concept. But you know that Jinjin also worked on Astro stuff.
Yeah.
Jinjin and Rocky, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it was one of those things. Yeah, we're coming out with the cute, their summer concepts are my favorite.
Like, I had my first Astro. Age crisis because of Astro.
Me too. Yes. Me too.
Yes, I agree. And, just,
and the like, cutesy didn't help. So I was like, I'm going to avoid this at all costs. Like, I can't, like, mentally deal with this. So.
And dude. Then they came out with Crazy Sex Cool, and you're like, who are you?
That was a good song, dude, though.
It was a good song. I still go back to that song.
It's just like, I remember why I started biasing Astro, and it was because I was like, ooh, 98 liner. Because, you know, me being young, like, born in 98 and, like, growing up in the age of K-pop where everyone's fucking older than you, it was so weird at that time to finally start seeing third gen debuting groups that were born at the same age as me. So it's like, yeah, 98 liner, and now they're all debuting groups that are younger than me, and I feel old.
Oh yeah, welcome to the club. I felt old because of Astro. I saw 99, I was like, what the fuck do you mean 1999? I didn't know people were born in 1999.
It's like, where, when, when? For us, it's like, you're 6 years younger than me. What?
But no. I do agree with the Astro. You know, I'm gonna say another one too. VIX.
Oh, them too. Yeah. Like, their come up too was like, no one was doing it like they were doing it. And then the moment they started to step into the darker, like, heavier concepts was just a game changer.
No one talks about their debut concept.
Don't if you're gonna look at VIX's discography, just don't look at the debut. Just don't look at the debut, because I feel like with every group hates their debut, let's be honest.
Yeah, because like, yeah. I love BTS's debut song, but everybody hates it. And I love EXO's debut song, and people shit on that all the time too.
Out of everyone here, how do you guys like girls?
Hey, I do
not like. Okay,
I always do.
I only liked girls if they do the remix that they do at their concerts.
Okay, but I love that song. See, I'm telling you, I love girls, debuts. Girls. They all hate them, but I love debuts.
I loved girls because that's what introduced me to me being biased about Mark.
That so shit was like, so wow. Catchy. Yes, like, I know JYP did it, but it was really fucking catchy.
Yeah,
they knew what they were doing once they released that. You're like, oh, fuck.
Wait, now I just want to know, like, what other debuts Roxy likes, because, like, there's so many that I hate.
Well, why don't you start listing the ones you hate, and we'll
slap by Teen Top. Clap.
Oh, I haven't watched. I never got into Teen Top.
No,
so.
I did not like Clap.
Fucking stupid.
Because I hear Crab, not.
No, let's be honest, Teen Top's discography from like 2010 until about 2012 was actually trash, because Super Love.
Hey, listen,
Super Love exists.
Is my, I tease Robin with this. Listen, I'm gonna ruin some lyrics and songs for you guys if you haven't known. Listen, it's supposed to be Super Love, but I can't unhear Soup Love, like Campbell's chicken.
Are we gonna
soup.
Talk about this at some point in a different
we
one?
Are
yes we are
we
but...
are but I will ruin a couple, but yeah, no, I hear Crab, not Clap, unfortunately, because I'm just like, damn it.
Dude, Teen Top's another example though, like, of like building a company from the ground up too.
Yeah, because they had Andy. But
I have twisted feelings about Andy, dude.
But that didn't work out entirely great.
Well, like, let's be honest. I feel like with Teen Top is kind of like with, like, I'm not comparing them to BAP. I'm just using BAP as a meta, like, as, like, you know, a comparison. I feel like if Top Media actually cared about Teen Top, just like how if TS actually cared about BAP, they would have been bigger.
Can you guys think about a girl group that felt that way, though?
See, I...
Because we've named all boy groups.
Yeah, I consider throwing Dreamcatcher out there, at least in terms of building a company from the ground up.
Right.
I agree.
But I don't actually know how involved they are in making their music if we're going by my definition. I'm unsure about that. But by Robin's definition, they pretty much made their company.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
But what's very interesting about them is how they started with like a very, very cutesy concept and they immediately threw that shit out the window and redebuted them.
Yeah.
With the horse concept. Because they didn't do well with the cutesy.
Well, if they treated them nicely, Luna could be even bigger. Because I liked how their come up was.
Luna's dance are scary, though.
I mean, they're efficient. They got rid of a bad comeback. So.
Like, there's
they'd be doing work.
There are four fandoms out of all of K-pop that I'm scared of, and Luna is like number four, dude. Like, Luna fans are scary.
Their fans are scary. But I. Like if
the
we
way
take
they
away,
were brought in, I think was really cool.
Yeah, that when we're if we're talking about how organic that was, the concept of, like I said, for me, it has to draw me in and make me interested. The way how they were coming out with a member every single month and a subunit every single month leading up to their official debut, you didn't see that at that time. They were the, in my opinion, the first to do it that way. And so, like, seeing how Luna was being formed and the anticipation of when they're going to debut, and then, you know, their music, I say, even though company's not great, the music that they put out has always been better and better and better every single time, in my opinion. And I just, like, I think organically, for me, it worked for them. And... you know that, yeah, sure, it might have not been, they might not have been as involved, and they could be. I don't follow Luna that closely, that the members are into their music, but you can tell, like, yes, we're going to be given this assignment, but we're going to execute it really well, and we're going to do it the Luna way. And so it's just, like, it's just very unfortunate that they're stuck with a they were stuck with a company that did them so fucking dirty.
I have another girl group.
Bigger.
I have another girl group that could be arguable, like, definitely arguable with Roxy's, like, definition, but, like, works with my definition, Kara.
Oh, I can see that, yeah.
Because, like, yeah, Kara had, like, or, like, DSP Media had, like, solo artists and everything, but, like, you didn't really hear that much about it until Kara debuted.
That's true. I didn't know who DSP was until Kara.
Mm-hmm. I love Kara.
Man. I'm trying to, like, look up groups. I'm going through my playlist.
Girl, I am a boy group stan through and through. Like, if I talk about a girl group, ring ding ding, give me 10 points for Gryffindor, because when I tell you I am not that much of a girl group stan.
You know, I think the problem is, in general, like, at least by my definition, I feel like girl groups just don't get as much autonomy as boy groups do. That's, I mean, true. There are certain cases where that's not true, like with G-Idle, at least they let Soyeon do a shitload of stuff. But I just feel like these companies tend to fixate more control on girl groups.
How long did it take for JYP to let Twice start doing their own stuff?
I didn't know.
It took a while, because I know
their early stuff they did.
Does some of their stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cry For Me was Jihyo.
Oh, that's a good song.
That is a very good song. That was Jihyo. It wasn't until their more recent stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See it for Twice. A name who came... Oh God, I had a girl group in mind and then their name just escaped me. Damn it.
Because I can't find... I was looking for girl groups. I can't find shit on my playlist to use as an example. Which I think is really sad, because I bet a lot of these performers are very talented musicians and they just don't get the opportunity.
Yeah, I feel like there are girl groups who, oh, I guess Mamamoo, right?
Yeah, Mamamoo is one of the
groups
that
they're active then. with their yeah. own production of their stuff.
Yeah, you know what I found out the other day is that Mamamoo choreographed their stuff until, like, what was it? Like, I don't remember what come. I think it was Go Go Bebe. They choreographed everything themselves up until Go Go Bebe. Or something like that. It was, like, around that era. But I found that out recently. I was like, oh, shit. Really? And, like, they were dancing in heels, girl. Girl, do you know how hard dancing in fucking
it's stilettos? Hard. I can't fucking walk in them, so.
So yeah, like Mamamoo and also EXID. Like, you know that they had a hand in their music.
Yeah.
For sure.
I love Ellie's stuff, dude.
Yeah.
I always forget that her 21. Name is Ellie now.
21. Because
I like... To anyone?
21.
Oh yeah, that's right.
CL had a lot of like influence and stuff.
I am surprised because I would assume YG wouldn't allow that.
I still feel like they still put a block to it because I feel like there were songs that CL had backlogged. I think what JYP was doing to JB, YG was doing to CL.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For yes. sure, where they were just blocking off her music. And she has a full arsenal of 21 songs in her back pocket that I feel like once, if YG ever surrenders the rights or if CL wins the rights to 21, they're going to be out there. So, like, I really hope for a reunion, of course. An official one, not where the one that's hidden and a surprise. An official one.
Right.
But those are the groups who come to mind where, like, you know that they're in their music, they want to do that. And again, we just don't know what these other groups are because I think similar to what Roxy said, we just don't see it happening more for girl groups. Even though it's probably there, we just don't see it because I feel like women in K-pop are pushed to this agenda to fit a concept.
I feel like it's definitely changed because with especially with Fortune, because like before then it was boy group, now it's girl group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like with Fortune, it kind of like definitely switched it from boy group to girl group, which is a nice change.
It's nice to have because I'm rooting for the girls.
And so, like, obviously, like, now with all the fourth gen girl groups that are debuting, I don't think they'll have that liberty to start producing their own stuff or anything for a while.
Yeah,
because it took how many years for fucking JYP to let JB do his shit?
So yeah,
and I'm still mad about that.
Yeah, I think it's still a work in progress where we'll see more, especially these fourth gen groups that you're mentioning, to see them more like involved with the process.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's not going to be long till it happens either. Mm-hmm. I think we'll get there. It just hasn't happened yet. And yes, like, I was just like, I'm sorry, can you think of a fourth, like a group that a boy group that has debuted recently? I think of more girl groups right now because they're just the forefront
of the only boy right now. Oh, I just thought of another one. And it's fourth gen. The boys.
Oh, yeah.
They are very involved in everything they do.
They are. And they're still underrated. Very underrated boy group.
They be doing weird shit on TikTok.
I don't... I don't even know more than half the shit they be doing. They be making Hyunjae do the dumbest shit. And I'm like, what?
I keep getting content. I'm like, what the fuck is going on
here? Like, they are like the most crackheadiest, like, you know, like on you know, like on how in groups, like you have the crackhead members. They're those crackhead members just all in one group.
Yeah. I still like I the meme of how of Kevin twerking is still just one of my favorite ones.
I don't know, like there's something because like obviously they have four members that are 98 liners, and they are the most weird, diverse. Well, like you have Mew and Q, which are the cute beans of 98 line. You have Juyeon, who likes to fucking kill everyone. And then you have random ass fucking Kevin, dude.
Yeah.
I love the boys. They're very underrated. Definitely check out on Nowhere by the boys.
Yes.
I'll give them free promotion, dude.
Yeah. So I guess at the end of the day, organic is subjective to a person, mm-hmm. right? And I guess it's just the way how you consume it is going to be what determines for you how organic you feel that this is. And again, there are some things where you can tell, like, this is just manufactured. Yeah. Clearly, like, you're just putting this out to put something out there.
All right, so we covered a lot today. Does anybody have any final thoughts on our topics?
Just Oh God, if you want to go down those rabbit holes of lawsuits and just figuring out what organic K-pop is to you, you have a full list to go through. My goodness, that there's a lot. It's a big rabbit hole. So I hope something out of this episode just piques your interest and you're like, I want to do look into that more and see what really happened. I hope so.
You think somebody translated the legal documents of the TVXQ lawsuit?
Is it out there?
I don't know. I'm just curious.
I mean, that would be cool if it was public record like that. Because, I mean, you can find public record here in America for a lot of things that happen. So.
Yeah, but this is like somebody would have to go through like a shitload of documents and translate them.
Imagine. That would be crazy, though. I just want to say, like, I just want to see, you know, the stipulations of their contract of what happened. So I was just like, ooh, maybe. Mm. Robin?
Support Jin Young's comeback.
It's already out. You know how
for Jin Young's debut. Mind empty. Just Jin Young.
Like, no thoughts, Jin Young.
Well, you know that the coverage is on our website and has been for months by the time this comes out.
So yeah, go and read and support. yay, man, it's been an episode, guys. Always like talking to you guys.
Well, okay, I'm done. For anyone that's watching or listening, if you have anything to contribute to this conversation, go ahead and leave it down in a comment below. We talked about a lot and have a lot of opinions, so I'm sure that there's some things that people can chime in on. And while you're at it, please leave us a rating and a review on whatever platform you are listening or watching on. It really helps us with the algorithm. So please do that if you can. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel to catch the next episode. So this has been the CrazeCast, and we'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Save big money on exterior wall lights now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.